on your travels, you see the other side of life. And we cannot get through Christmas this year without thinking of the horror that is Aleppo.
Indeed, Frank. I mean, we've all seen it on our TV screens and heard it on the radio. Aleppo was described to us by one of our partners on the ground last week as an apocalypse. And that was the actual word they used. We actually lost a partner staff member in the bombardment last Tuesday. So our thoughts are with his family. Absolutely shocking scenes. And people have got to remember, Frank, that Aleppo is just the latest manifestation of this conflict. It's been going on for more than 5 years. So some estimates put the number of people killed over 400,000. Like, it's really hard to get your head around figures like that. 5 million people have had to leave their country, have had to leave Syria. And I actually travelled to Lebanon, which is next door to Syria, last week, and I was in the refugee camps meeting some of those Syrian families that have had to flee. And some of the stories are quite heartbreaking.
What can we do? Because it's a shallow question in many ways. Governments, the United Nations, the NGOs don't seem to be able to do anything. So what can someone listening to U105 do?
Well, I mean, there's a very simple way for people to help here at home. At the governmental level, you know, we hear a lot of talk about who's to blame for this atrocity and who's to blame for that. That, you know, we can apportion blame once the killing stops. The killing has to stop. That is the most important thing to happen now. And people, ordinary people like your listeners, have to be accessible by organisations like Trokra and our partners. We have to get the humanitarian aid in there. Now, we are supplying aid in Aleppo on the ground, but we're also working with those families in the camps. And, you know, we hear the figures. I used one there. 5 million people have had to flee Syria. That's a statistic. It's the actual human stories, Frank, and I'll share one very, very quickly with you. I was up near the Syrian border in a camp that you would imagine, if someone says refugee camp, this is what you would visualise. It's basically sheets of plastic, bits of wood, whatever shelter people can find. And I met a lady called Nova, and she's there with her four kids. Perfectly ordinary life in Syria. She lived in Homs, and it all ended in the blink of an eye when a missile hit the house. Thankfully, the family weren't there, but they owned their own home and totally destroyed. Their little three-year-old daughter, a few weeks before that, had been caught in another strike, very badly injured. So that was the final straw for the family. So the father actually left Homs and went to try to find refuge in Lebanon for the family so he could go back and bring them with him. They haven't heard from him in 4 years, Frank. He was taken at the border, and he hasn't been heard from since. So this lady is now in a refugee camp, basically in a tent, with her four young kids. And she said that without the aid she's received, and remember, this is aid we're only able to provide because of the people in Northern Ireland. Without that aid, she doesn't know what she would have done. So we're supplying food, shelter, education for the kids. That is the very tangible thing we can do as individuals. At the other level, we are lobbying governments, obviously. But at the moment, the most important thing is for these people to survive. Because remember, it's winter. Winter's now hitting with a vengeance in the Bekaa Valley. And it was very cold when I was there and due to get colder. So, you know, these people are in a pretty grim situation.
5 million plus people. It's hard to visualise how many people that is. But it wouldn't be unreasonable to say that we're talking about every single person in Ireland.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's 5 million people that are documented as having left Syria, you know. So the number, I have no doubt, is much higher. You've also got millions of people who have been internally displaced, as it's called. So they've had to leave their homes and go somewhere else within Syria to get away from the fighting. But as I say, those figures are, I find them personally very hard to get my head around. But if we remember that every one of those 5 million is a story like Nofa and her family, that brings in some kind of perspective, you know. And what gets me every Christmas, you know, you were talking about the joyous side of Christmas, etc. There actually is still a message of hope within this, because the people in Northern Ireland, it's so humbling. I was at a school this morning, Frank, St. Patrick's Barnegaha in Belfast, and the kids raised £500, you know, for the Syrian refugees. So, you know, the levels of generosity in Northern Ireland, we really can't forget, they are phenomenal.
We do have to do something to help whichever aid organisation or charity comes forward. Some of the big names, of course, including Trokra, are looking for assistance. David, thank you for describing it to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank, and Merry Christmas to you.
And a Merry Christmas to you, David. Sad, isn't it, when you see those pictures on the screen? You know, of all the horror, sometimes when it's the bombs going off in the building and you see the carnage and the rubble, you just almost begin to glaze over. You think that couldn't be happening. But when you see families sitting at the roadside with a temporary fire trying to, you know, like a campfire type thing, trying to warm themselves in freezing conditions, and there's thousands of them, as far as the eye can see, you think that's hell. That's hell on earth. And we do ignore it. We, I'll be ignoring it again in a minute from now. It's just disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting.